It's great seeing everybody out this morning. If you're our visitor or guest with us, we want to make sure you feel welcome. This is a great church family here at Flatwoods, and definitely worth staying after services to get to know each of us. I can attest to it probably more than most. I moved here in June, only been here a couple months, but they've treated us like family, and we're so glad that we're here laboring at Flatwoods. We have a special guest today. Our baby Roman is here for his first Sunday, so we're blessed with that. We still have a no-touching rule going on with the sickness and everything else going on, but we'd love for you to stick around and get to see him and get to know him. He's such blessed to be here at Flatwoods with us as well. I joked with Mr. Parks this morning. You know, the only reason he came this morning because I was preaching because he needed a good nap, so I get to put him to sleep, so it's good. But if you would, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, we'll look at verses 15 through 19 this morning. If you have a marker in your Bible, you go ahead and put it there. We're going to keep coming back to these verses throughout this morning's lesson. Lesson's title is The Greatest Prophet. Certainly the scriptures are full of different prophets, of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, men who spoke on God's behalf, who spoke for God. But in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19, Moses is going to describe a prophet that was going to come up, that was going to be like him. This prophet was going to be the greatest prophet to ever live. And Moses is going to describe him, and again, we have the luxury of living past the cross, so we know who Moses is describing here, as it reads in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. According to all you desire to the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Now, many of us automatically know he's talking about Jesus. And again, that's the hindsight. We have the luxury of looking back now that Jesus has lived. We can know without a doubt he's describing Christ. What I want us to look at this morning, many a times we look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, but we don't really do a deep study of showing where it's fulfilled, showing the characteristics, showing the requirements that are made, and showing how Jesus fulfilled every one of them. There are a lot of requirements in these couple verses. Jesus fulfills them perfectly. Before we jump straight into that, though, you kind of have to get an idea of who Moses is, right? This prophet is going to be like Moses. So we should know a few things about Moses, right? As we take a look, the Old Testament's filled of scriptures that talk about Moses. Psalm 77, verse 20, talks about how God led the people of Israel by the hand of Moses and Aaron, leading them through the Red Sea. So we see there that he's the leader. He's the one who leads the people by God's command. But I want you to notice in the New Testament the kind of high standard, the high level that Moses was in the Jewish people. Even in Jesus' day, they held Moses to an uncomfortable high standard. If you turn to John chapter 9, we can kind of take a look at this. John chapter 9, verses 28 through 29. You take a look at Jewish history and Jewish customs. And you've got a few of these patriarchs. You got Abraham's really high up there in the standards. And right underneath Abraham's probably Moses, right? And how important those two men were. I want you to see the kind of standards they held for Moses, how high they held Moses up compared to other people. John chapter 9, verses 28 through 29. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but notice, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, they're talking about Jesus. As for Jesus, we do not know where he is from. Did you notice they considered themselves disciples of Moses? And this goes throughout the entire New Testament. They look back to Moses as the person that they follow. They follow the law of Moses. So they held Moses to a very high standard, and rightly so. He was a great prophet of God. But I want us to look, who is this prophet that's going to be like Moses but better than Moses? You look at God and his relationship, what God has to say about Moses is very similar. He's held to a high standard. Exodus 33, verse 17 tells us, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. That kind of relationship that Moses and God had, they're on first name basis. They spoke together. Moses and God had a relationship unlike many people have. Only, I would say, Moses and Abraham and Christ, very few people had that relationship where they talked with God. Notice in Numbers 12, 7 through 8, my servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall be beheld. Wherefore, then, when ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Kind of see that relationship. They speak mouth to mouth. He doesn't hide things to Moses. He speaks them plainly to him. So we take a look and we look at that relationship God had with Moses. Who could fill the shoes Moses left behind? Moses didn't get to live forever. Moses is a great prophet that God used to bring the Israelites out of bondage. But who could fill his shoes? We know Joshua is the one who ends up becoming the next leader, but there's not anyone after Moses who fills the shoes Moses left behind. There's a void. Who could fill it? You talk to somebody who is of the Jewish faith. When you talk about this great prophet in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19, they'll say, well, it wasn't just one prophet. It was all the prophets together made up this one great prophet, the prophet. They'll say it's Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all together. And that can't be true. And we take a look in the New Testament. They were still, the Jewish people, when Jesus walked the earth, were looking for the prophet. They're still looking for him, even when Jesus is on the earth. And I want to show you that. John chapter 1, verse 21. Sometimes we skip over the little details about what Scripture gives us. They were still looking for the prophet described in Deuteronomy 18 while Christ was here. John the Baptist is out baptizing people, and the Jewish leaders send men to go talk to John to see where he comes from. Who is he? And notice in John chapter 1, verse 21, and they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Notice, are you the prophet? And he answered, no. They're looking for the prophet even then. Another example is John chapter 6, verse 14. You notice, they're still looking for him. They're going to have Jesus here. He's fed the 5,000. They sit down, they eat. They want to crown him king. And look in John chapter 6, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. The only person that could fill these shoes is Jesus. And he's the one there. They're looking for the prophet. And they missed him, unfortunately. But I want us to take a look in Deuteronomy 18. Let us look at the requirements. Let's make sure Jesus fits the bill, and he certainly does. This will help us when we go out into the world and we're teaching people about prophecy. You can look back at Deuteronomy 18 and see all the requirements God gave for the prophet and show them Jesus fits the bill. And it's so important that we show people the things that are in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, we'll start here. We're going to find three requirements. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. First kind of requirement we have is that he's going to be from the 12 tribes. He is going to be from the brethren. He's going to be a Jewish person. Certainly, Jesus fits this bill. We know in Matthew chapter 1 with the genealogy of Christ, you go through all the different names. He comes from the son of David, son of Abraham. And you can go through and see he's of Jewish lineage. He obviously marks that. But Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14 even tells us what tribe he comes from. He comes from the tribe of Judah. So Jesus fits the first requirement. I don't want to spend too much time on that because we've got many of other things we can look at. But certainly, Jesus fits the bill of being from the 12 tribes, being from the brethren. I want you to notice the next one. Moses explains that the prophet would be like Moses. He'll be like him. And that people would listen to his words. So important that we look at these things. How is Jesus like Moses? And you could sit all day and list a lot of different things out. And I've listed just three. And I think they're probably the most interesting and most important that stand out to us. I got some of these from Brother Kaufman's commentary on Deuteronomy. But I want you to notice these three things that Jesus and Moses had in common. How they were like each other. Both had God's people baptized unto them. Have you ever considered that? Lesson that I did recently, we looked at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2, where it says the Israelite people were baptized unto Moses. He was the one that led them through the water. And the Jewish people that were there we're baptized into his name. What about Jesus? Are people baptized into his name? Is that not the thing that shows a person has dedicated their life to becoming a Christian? They've got to be baptized into his name. If you look at Galatians chapter 3, again, many times we read these, but I want you to notice, we're baptized into his name. No other name will work for salvation today. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're baptized into him. Now, I want you to look at this comparison. They were both, the Israelites were baptized into Moses. People today are baptized into Christ. Which one's greater? In the time of Moses, it was only the Israelites who were baptized into Moses. But Christ, all men everywhere, are baptized into Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There's no differentiation. There's no just to select people like it was in the Old Testament. Jesus is better in that regard. Notice the next one. Both received special treatment in their death. You ever really thought about that? Moses received special treatment from God. Deuteronomy chapter 34. If you turn there with me, Moses is going to die as he's looking out at the promised land. But I want you to notice what Scripture tells us about his death. It's something I want to ask God when we get to heaven one day about this thing. He goes, and we'll read it. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And notice it. And he, that's a capital H, here is God. And God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. So we have Moses dying, God burying him, and no one knows where he's buried. No one ever found his body. And there's a reason, I think. I think God realized that people would have exonerated Moses, as they did in the New Testament, to a super high standard. So his body was hidden from man. He received special treatment. But when we look at the death of Christ, did not Christ receive a better treatment? Did Christ not have a better treatment from God when he died on the cross for our sins? If you would look at Acts chapter 2, verse 32, I want you to notice the death and the special treatment Christ was given by God. Acts chapter 2, verse 32, Peter's preaching that sermon on Pentecost. He says, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Now, who got the better treatment? Moses, who died and was buried, or Jesus, who died and was raised again? Certainly Christ. Who's the better prophet? Is Moses or Christ? Certainly your answer better be Christ. Notice the last one. Both were transfigured. Another thing that I'd like to study deeper. We know that Moses was transfigured as he went up and talked to God in Exodus chapter 34, verse 35. Moses' face changed. His likeness changed. He shone. People could see a visible difference in Moses when he went up to the mountain and talked to our Lord. But notice with Jesus in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 is one of those places in your Bible you should really study deeper. Jesus is there on the mount. Sounds very similar to Moses on the mount, but this is a different mount. Mount Transfiguration, Mount of Matthew 17, and I want us to look at 1 through 2 first. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 2. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. So they're both transfigured on a mount. Now which one was better? Which one was greater? Notice verses 3 and 5 of Matthew chapter 17. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You see the thing that Peter's trying to do. He's trying to put them all equal. Here's Christ, here's Moses, here's Elijah. Let's build a tabernacle for all three. But I want you to notice God's answer to this. Verse 5 of this chapter. And it ties into what the other requirement was, that they needed to listen to this prophet. There is no other person to listen to. If it's between Moses and Christ, Christ wins every day. That's the prophet we need to listen to. Notice Moses is there, but verse 5 says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. He didn't say hear Moses. He said hear Christ. That's the one you need to listen to. Certainly Jesus fits the characteristics. Jesus fits the requirements. He's better than Moses. He's like him in many ways. But Christ is better in all counts and purposes. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we'll look at verses 16 through 18 next. I want you to notice another requirement that's laid out for this prophet. As we look in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 16 through 18. He's going to raise a prophet that's going to be a mediator between God and man. Moses was a mediator between God and the Israelites. And this is what's being brought out in verses 16 through 18. According to all you desire the Lord your God in Horeb, and the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Here we have Moses describing the account at Horeb, where they're there, they're surrounding the mountain, and God comes down in fire and just rains it around them, and they are frightened. They don't even want to be in God's presence. And I want us to look at it, because it's in Deuteronomy chapter 5. They don't want to talk to God. They're afraid. They're frightened to God. They say, Moses, you go on our behalf to God. Whatever you say God tells us to do, we'll do it. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 24 through 27. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 24 through 27. And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. For who is there of all the flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire, as we have and lived? You go, talking to Moses, you go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. That's what Moses is referring to in Deuteronomy 18, that scene where God is speaking to them, and they are fearful. There's a great lesson that can be in that. Standing in the presence of God is an awe-inspiring thing. We should be just like them and say, we don't deserve to be here. We could die being here. You think about all the wrath that God showed through the 10 plagues, what we showed through Jericho and the walls coming down. God is also the God of love. We know that. But God is also the God of vengeance. God is the God of wrath. There is a time and a place where we should step back and say, we don't deserve to be in this position. Let God do as he pleases. And there we have Moses becoming the mediator between the Israelites and God. That's how Christ is like Moses in verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, like him as a mediator between God and man. Is Christ our mediator? Absolutely. If there is no other mediator in this world that you can turn to, if you read through the book of Job, it's a great book. Job was looking for a mediator through the whole time. He's going, God's going to do as he pleases. I have no one to stand on my behalf to beg. Job, through the entire Old Testament, they're looking for a mediator. There's no one to stand in between the wall, between God and man. But Jesus is. Moses was for a short while, but Jesus is the mediator for all times. How do we know this? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. We all know this verse. We probably could quote many of us here this verse. But it's so important that we notice there is no other person who can stand between God's wrath and you other than Jesus. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Can you think about what it would be like if you stood before God and there was not a mediator? There's not someone to stand and defend you before God. We deserve death. Romans tells us that throughout the whole book. We deserve nothing but death for the life that we've lived, the sins that we've committed. We need a mediator. Jesus is the only one that can stand on our behalf, who can stand against God's wrath for us. We need to be thankful every day that there's a mediator. There's only one. You won't find it anywhere else. Moses can't be your mediator. He's not living anymore. but Jesus lives forever. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He will be your mediator if you only obey his word, if you only listen to him and all that he says. That leads into our next point. Chapter 18, verse 18. I'm getting tongue-tied now. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Did Jesus ever speak the words of God? Absolutely. Every word that came from his mouth was the words of God. We know that Jesus is the Word, John chapter 1. Everything was created that is through Christ, the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John chapter 1, verse 14. Everything that Jesus said was God's Word. Certainly through Scriptures, it's over and over again. But I want you to notice these things. Jesus spoke like no other man, because he wasn't just man, he was God. Ever study the questions that Jesus answered perfectly? You ever studied how Jesus was given the question about taxes, and his answer was perfect? Many of the questions that are given to Jesus were tried to entrap him, but Jesus answered them as only God could. It's so important that we notice that he wasn't like other people. Lord, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 through 29. I want you to notice the thing that stood out to everybody that was there listening to the Sermon on the Mount. That great lesson that no preacher can get anywhere near. It's the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. But I want you to notice what they saw in Christ, what stood out about Christ and his speech. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 through 29. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Why did he have authority? Because he's God. He could teach the law perfectly, as no person could on this earth. Notice another example of people just being in awe at the Lord and the way he spoke. He spoke the words of the Lord, and people noticed it while he's on the earth. John chapter 7, verses 45 through 46. And it reads, then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? They were sent to arrest him. But notice verse 46, the officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. What a true statement. Why is Jesus different? Because he speaks the words of God directly. He is God in the flesh. Certainly, Jesus spoke the words of God at every instance. I want you to really think of this, that when Jesus was on this earth, he didn't hide who he was. You know, he doesn't go around saying, I'm not God. He certainly, throughout the entire New Testament, through the gospel accounts, Jesus didn't hide his existence and who he claimed to be. John chapter 8, we talked about this morning in our class in Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, there's Moses at the burning bush, and God says, I am who I am. I want you to think of this. Jesus makes that same statement about himself. In John chapter 8, verse 58, he says, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. They didn't have any confusion about who Jesus claimed to be. Next verse. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. One of the major reasons they wanted to kill Christ is because he claimed to be God. That is God speaking to man directly. Jesus spoke every word, was the word from God. But I want you to look at this, though. Don't just take my word for Jesus being this prophet. The New Testament tells us exactly who the prophet is. If you look at Acts chapter 3, we're going to see what Peter has to say about Jesus being this prophet described in Deuteronomy 18. So important that we look to Scriptures to find our answers. Acts chapter 3, verses 20 through 26. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The message is about Christ. Jesus is the one who was planned, who was purposed. He's the Messiah. But not only the Messiah, notice verse 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up from you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. There is no doubt Peter knew Jesus is that prophet, the prophet that the scriptures foretold of. The last one is in Acts chapter 7. We take a look at Acts chapter 7. We have here where Stephen's going to be stoned to death for his sermon he preaches to them. But notice verse 37, this little bit of information thrown in there. He's talking about how they had prepared their way. The Israelites had sojourned. He goes through Abraham. He goes through Moses. Notice verse 37. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear." Then we get to the conclusion. He talks about how they were the ones that killed Christ. There's no doubt Jesus is the prophet. But I want you to notice the sermon's not complete till you look at the last verse of Deuteronomy chapter 18. What are the repercussions of not listening to this prophet like God had commanded them to do? Deuteronomy 18, verse 19. "And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." Can you think of standing before God and being asked why you didn't obey? What will your answer be when God stands there and says, "I sent you the prophet, the only prophet, the one prophet, and there will never be one like him again, and you did not obey him"? What will you give as an answer? You won't. That's the sad part. We look at us, you have two options that the Bible shows time and time again. There's obedience and there's disobedience. There is no middle. There is no in-between. God's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Those who obey, those who do not obey. We look at in New Testament, Acts 2, Acts 7. There's two different types of people. One's pricked to the heart and they obey the gospel. The other one's pricked to the heart and they stone Stephen. There is obedience and there's disobedience. Which will you choose? And choose it this day. Don't wait. Don't think about it for weeks and months on end. But choose this day whom you will serve, whether God or this world. There is no in-between. If you're not a Christian this morning, you have that opportunity. We know those steps that we know from our young childhood that we need to hear the message. You've heard it today. Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins, and he's asked you to obey his gospel, and that's how you do it. You hear the message, you believe that he is the Son of God, you repent, which is more than just not doing it anymore. It's turning your whole life around and thinking differently about things, no longer thinking about worldly things, but thinking of spiritual things. Then we must confess that Christ is the Son of God, and we must be baptized into this water for the remission of sins. It's not till we contact the water that we contact that cleansing blood Jesus gave for us. This morning, if you're not a Christian, today needs to be the day. Might be the case that you are a Christian, but you've fallen away. You've gone back to the world. You're no longer listening to the prophet, the one who matters. Make today the day you make your life right with God and with Christ as we stand and as we sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Judgment day. There's a sad day coming,
a sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner shall hear his doom deport. I know ye not, are you ready for that day?